and welcome to Balancing the Act. Today I have someone who takes people on treks and makes them visit new places and entertains them for a living. So Niyati, thank you for taking the time out and speaking to us today. I have spoken to solo female travelers and learned from their experiences, but today is going to be special, so thank you.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Really excited to be here and do this and have like a nice chat with someone who's also as passionate about traveling as me, probably.
Superb. So let's just, you know, dive into this. Tell our audience, or our listeners rather, who you are and, you know, what you currently do. Like, I've told them a little about you, but I think it's good to hear from you.
Okay. So hi everyone, to everyone watching this. Kevin mentioned, what I do is I take people on trips. So the idea is we take groups of strangers on trips. Now let me explain that a bit to you. Of course, solo traveling is a lot of fun and I do that too personally and I enjoy that a lot. But I think there are still a lot of people, especially in India, who are still not so open to the idea and they don't quite know how to navigate around it, right? Because they feel, you know, like, will I find company? Will I enjoy myself? How will it work? But at the same time, the idea of traveling and meeting strangers and learning from their experiences and making memories with them, it's so exciting to a lot of people. So we give people that platform, okay? If you're a solo traveler, or even if you want to come with a friend, however, the majority of people who travel with us, I think 70% are solo travelers itself. If you're looking to travel, and that too with strangers, you can just come join one of our trips. And the idea is that we take you for, you know, an adventure to some nice location. And during the course of the trip, like, you'll start off the trip as strangers, and like by the end, you're of course really good friends. And we've had people come on trips and then they take more trips together. People have attended weddings, people have become flatmates, all that jazz, you know. So, yeah.
How many people do you take on trips? Like, is there like a limit? Like, okay. 15, 20 people is something like that?
15 to 20 people. Yeah, oh. The general number falls between 15 to 20, correct.
So, because, you know, we need to understand how you've reached here rather than, you know, understanding what you're currently doing. So, tell us, let's go a little back into your history and understand what did you learn as a student and how you've come to be this person you are today.
So, by qualification, I'm a lawyer and I was practicing law in Bombay. I was straight out of my, you know, 5 years of LLB. I was working at a top-notch law firm in Bombay and I thought that I was living the life. But as I started practicing law, I realized that it's not the life for me. I found it to be extremely consuming. And I remembered even in that time that the things that had given me joy prior to practicing law, during and even after, was always, you know, when I got to explore places or meet people. So that's how this came to be, that I think while I was interning, not practicing, while I was interning, I traveled with the travel company that I work for. I traveled with the founder, Neeraj, and we'd really connected and we'd, you know, become very good friends and I had a really, really good time. So while I was practicing law, we still kept in touch. I did try to meet every now and then. And then once after I quit my job, so I think about 5-6 months, I was just traveling solo, traveling with my family, friends, all formats of travel. And then I started working for a company, around which time he contacted me and he said that, hey, I think you'd be good at this. And I said, why not?
So how rewarding is your job? Like, if you have to put it into words, how rewarding is this?
I cannot explain it, you know. I'll give you a little better context. So I was in a trip recently in Arunachal. And there was another lawyer in the trip and someone just, you know, asked me that, don't you miss it, that if you were a lawyer right now, like with your experience and everything, the sort of money you would be making. And I say, of course, I understand that. And I'm not saying that money isn't important. I mean, I'm not altruistic. Money is important in its own way, but it's not the priority for me. Like, I'd rather be comfortable. I'm not searching for luxury. And what this job gives me, I don't think any other job can. I mean, I've had people come on trips and, you know, like someone experiences the first snowfall and they cry, you know. Or I've had someone come and tell me, like, there was a girl, I remember, she was battling depression and she'd been on medication for depression for about 5 years. Her doctor had been telling her since the last couple of months that you need to stop your medication. You know, you've crossed that threshold. It's not needed for you to be taking the medication anymore. And I clearly remember we were in Spiti. It was the fifth day of our trip. And we'd stepped out of a monastery after meditating and she just walked up to me and she said, you know, I have not taken any pills in the last 3 days because I don't feel like it. So
you're curing people?
Yeah. Not curing people, just making people explore happiness. Yeah, I think we overcomplicate things so many times, you know, and I just want people to go crazy, you know, and like explore happiness, like play silly games they played as kids, dance in the middle of roads, talk to each other, just have fun.
So if there is someone aspiring to be a trip leader, now they've heard you, they're excited, so what should they do?
Okay, so my first suggestion to any such person is to understand why they want to become a trip leader, okay? Because I think for a lot of people, the idea is that, oh, you get to travel so much, it's so exciting. However, the job is first about people and secondly about traveling. That's the reality of it, you know? Because when you're looking after 15 to 20 people, you've got to care more about them than traveling itself. Of course, traveling is a huge part of it. It is the rewarding part of it. But you have to remember that, you know, you have to first be the sort of person who, in case you notice a person in a group who's slightly quiet, you want to go up to them and ask them that, hey, what's up? What's going on? I think the first realization for anyone has to be that, you know, it's first about the people and then about travel itself. Then my suggestion would be like, if there's someone who thinks that, yes, you know, this is still for me, I'd love to do it. So there are a lot of travel companies in India that do this, you know. The company I work for is called On His Own Trip. Then there is Trip Nari, there is Ikigai, there is Wander On, Land of Wanderlust. So there are a lot of travel companies that do this. You can, of course, contact them, you know, as to how to start the process in order to become a trip leader. My suggestion, however, would always be to travel with a company, right? Because each company offers really, really different experiences. Some travel only with females, some take slightly, you know, elder crowd, some take groups of people that are in college, like their trips are more budget. So the sort of people who come are also like, you know, college kids, more young. Some like us take the, let's say, essentially 25 to 35 bracket, everything. So if you'll travel with a company, you will also understand what their experience is about. And for instance, if you travel within India Hikes, they are the leading trekking company of India. They're brilliant at what they do. And so if your focus is on trekking and trekking very, you know, in a very disciplined manner, then India Hikes is the fit for you. If your idea is of something like, you know, bonding with people, going crazy, letting loose and all sorts of things, then probably we're the fit for you. Then there's someone who's more oriented around females. So identify which bracket you really fall within, travel with them, interact with them, and then start the process of actually applying. Don't shoot a random email. This is not the sort of job that works like that. You have to experience it and then get into it.
So don't go to LinkedIn, search for their names and you know, slide into you know, their messages.
Yeah,
interesting. No. So like you mentioned about how you guys plan trips differently, tell us about one place that you know, you enjoyed taking people to and you yourself enjoyed, like, you know, those group of people mm-hmm. were amazing and when you went there you were like, aise hi trip hona chahiye.
So always difficult to pick one, but I think a couple of them. One has to be, I think, the most recent one that I really, really, really loved was Spiti. Spiti we done in July. And the group I had gone with, they were absolutely mad. So, you know, like, it was 20 people. And I think after the second wave, it was my first trip. So I was also really eagerly looking forward to it. And I think the people who came on the trip were also very excited for it. Now, an issue that can happen with, let's say, a Spiti or a Northeast or any of these mountain trips in India is that the road travel can really exhaust you. Like, it can really, really drain you, you know. But our idea is that the road travel in itself should become fun. The road travel should not become a problem in the experience. It should rather become part of the experience. So, you know, I think one day when we were going to Langsa, which is the fossil village. We all sat on top of the vehicles. We sat on top of the carriers. So that was one hell of a memory. There was one girl, it was her birthday. And we were going to Hikkim, which is the world's highest post office. So we ensured that throughout the day, she kept getting postcards from random strangers. You know, we would go up to people and tell them, like, you know, give her a postcard. And then, of course, Chandratal Lake, of course, is so, so, so beautiful. So part of my group, actually, they went, like, every... what happens in Chandratal is most people just go to the front of the lake. They click 10 pictures and they walk away. We, however, do a parikrama of the lake, which allows you to see the mountains from the back. And this time, we actually had a couple of people who walked further up and explored some unnamed lakes, you know. So, quite an experience.
So what's the duration of these trips? Say someone wants to book with you guys. How many days of leave does one require to, you know, make it to your...
Thankfully, we have like a lot of options. We also have weekend trips, then we have a week-long trips, then we also have 10-day trips. The idea for any location will always be that we're looking to do justice to the location itself, right? I mean, if someone asks me that, why don't you do a Ladakh or a Spiti in 1 week? I'm sorry, I can't, because you'll get AMS, you'll fall sick, it'll ruin your experience. But at the same time, if it's a beer billing or if it's a Tirthan or something, then of course that's a weekend trip. Then there are trips like Andamans and all that fall within the 1 week bracket. And plus when Europe is open, then of course we do Europe for 2 weeks. So depending on what time you have, you can opt for whichever one suits you.
So because I know you're a female solo traveler yourself, quite an experienced one from my understanding now. Any tips that, you know, we could give for free so that people can, you know, or women rather, could travel a little more, be away from home and still feel, you know, like there are 10 other people doing it, even I can do this, you know. So some tips for those women.
I'll actually share a story. There was this one time that me and my friend, we were traveling to Himachal, we were going to go to Tirthan. And how it happens is that you travel to a place called Auth, and then your bus drops you off there, and then you're supposed to take a local taxi till Tirthan. Now, what happened was our Volvo broke down earlier in the evening, so we were told your bus is cancelled. And the only option was to take a local bus, right? And we decided that screw it, like our trip is too important to us. We're going to go in any case. We went, so I remember there's an uncle, his wife, and some 2 kgs of onion they were carrying with them, and I was sitting next to them. That was one experience. And then we reached Auth at 4 a.m. of the night. And Auth, mind you, at that time, the street had not one street lamp, okay? So we are standing on the road. It's December. It's around Christmas time. It's really cold. It's 2 degrees. You're shivering. You're wearing a jacket, but you're still shivering. And there's endless fog. So you can't see any other person on the road. You can't see anything. The only sort of movement you can see is if a light, if a car approaches, you'll see the headlight. That's all that you could see. And every time a car is approaching, you're hoping it's your car, because A, of course, you want to get out of there. B, if it's not your car, you also get scared, right? Okay. Like, oh, I'm standing in the middle of nowhere and there's just this car. Anyhow, cut to the point, like we sat in the car, we started moving, and my friend, like, she slept off within 2 seconds. And it was pitch dark. The entire drive was also really, really dark. And of course, this thought played in my head, you know, that I don't know the way. Google Maps is not working. It's really foggy. It's really late. And it's really, really dark. So if something's to happen also, there's nothing I can do. So all these thoughts were going inside my head when at one point I decided, okay, let me talk to the driver. Okay. And this is something I think where people, and especially women in India, go really, really wrong, because we are so scared of our environment that we don't talk to people. And the moment you talk to people, you humanize them and you realize that people are much better than what we paint them out to be. I started talking to him. He started telling me about his trekking experience, about how he had recently married his wife, who used to be in school with him, and he could not tell his family that they love each other, so they sent out a proposal. All sorts of stories. And the moment this person starts talking to you, you realize, okay, they're like just you and me. So to women, I'd just like to suggest, instead of fearing your environment and thinking that everyone is out there to get you, it's better if you actually converse with people. The more you converse with people, the more you'll relate to them, the more they'll make you also feel at ease. And your experience as a female solo traveler will get really, really better, because what you'll take away from that experience will be much more than a place.
Interesting. Like I always, I think I have natural tendency to do this, but so that is something that even I love to do. Like even as a kid, I would sit obviously in the front of the car and the driver would be like my buddy by the end of this thing. And like, I remember most of these drivers being Sardarjis. And me just talking to them about anything I could talk to them about. So I do agree with that point.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, last question to you. What are your life lessons from these travels or your trips or during these years? You know, you've come a long way from being a student, a law professional, now taking trips. So you know, life has taught you something either at work or play. So what are those life lessons, I think, I would like to hear?
One life lesson is something that was passed down to me by my mom when I was leaving my law firm job. You know, I was really confused because as a child, I used to be such a big nerd, you know, so I could not imagine quitting this high profile law firm job. But my mom said something to me that has always stayed with me, and that was that remember that any job, any profession is only 25% of your existence. And the moment it starts to become 80% or 90%, there's something that you're doing wrong in life. So that's something that's really stayed with me. And I walked away from law thinking of that I don't want to be defined just by my job. And even today, you know, I think a lot of people hearing this might still say that, okay, but now you're just talking about travel, so you're just a trip leader. But the thing is that right now I'm writing also, I'm helping out a property also, I'm meeting people in different aspects also. So that life lesson, I think, has really rewarded me because instead of thinking that, oh, I live for a job, I've chosen to like live for the everyday, the little to little moments, right? And I think that's why instead of waking up and thinking that, oh shit, I have to go to work, I wake up thinking that, oh yes, let's get to work. So that has been the best lesson so far.
Superb. Thank you so much, Niyati, once again. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and I hope I can visit some of your trips someday soon. And that's it.
I'd love that. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed our chat.
Same here. I think our audience will love your tips and tricks, and I hope they also visit, you know, your company and you travel with them. Stay safe.